797, Praise the Almighty. Please stand on the last verse of that hymn. Following that hymn, we'll pray Matins. That's on page 219 and following. We have a worship insert for the day. The readings are on one side. Propers are on the other. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. And we pray that God would bless us as we extol the gift of His Word. His Word that gives us certainty that our sins are forgiven, not by what we do or what we own, but by the blood of Jesus for us and for our salvation. Let's pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank You today for the gift of Jesus, His life, His death, His resurrection, which has won for us the forgiveness of sins. Heavenly Father, help us to find our peace, our certainty, and our security, not in the things of this world, but in Your holy and precious Word. All these things, Lord, we pray in the name of the Word made flesh, Jesus, for us and for our salvation. Amen. Amen. Hymn 797.
Thank you. on page 219. O Lord, open my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise to you, O Christ. Hallelujah.
Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
O come, let us worship Him. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make joyful noise to God, our salvation. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving.
The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
O come, let us worship Him.
We sing now the introit appointed for today.
I will sing to you.
may be seated for the office hymn number 708, Lord, Thee I Love with All My Heart. 708.
Thank you.
Testament reading for the first Sunday after Trinity is from Genesis chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and an heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir, your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven, and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
We speak the gradual appointed for today. I said, O Lord, be gracious to me. Heal me, for I have sinned against you. Blessed is the one who considers the poor. In the day of trouble, the Lord delivers him. The epistle is from 1 John chapter 4. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter. Jesus said, There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died, and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us. And he said, Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he might warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment. But Abraham said, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. He said to them, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
We continue with the common responsory found on page 221. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. To the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
Grace and peace, love and mercy from God our Father through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Text for our meditation this morning. The gospel reading we heard just a moment ago, the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, especially these words. But Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." And he said to him, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, was the winter of 1976, my senior year in high school. Monday nights had become absolutely untouchable. Why? Because the entire nation gathered around their TV sets. There was a miniseries that had been hyped and hyped and hyped and hyped. Rich man, poor man. It was really the beginning of all of the TV miniseries that were so crazy popular at the end of the 70s and the beginning of the 80s. Rich man, poor man set every kind of television record that you could possibly imagine. It's all anybody talked about until about a year later when a little thing named Roots came along, and then everybody forgot about rich man, poor man. Why was rich man, poor man so popular? Well, everybody loves a rich man, poor man kind of a story. And in this particular mini-series, Peter Strauss and Nick Nolte are brothers, the Jordache brothers, sons of a German immigrant. They both work really hard. It's just one ends up poor and one ends up rich. You would think that the rich guy would have everything going his way, right? Well, things didn't always turn out that way. And you would think that the poor guy was always wallowing in grief and misery. Well, he was sometimes, but not all the time. Things don't always turn out the way we expect. Things don't always turn out the way the world creates an image or a scenario. Isn't that how it is today? We still love a rich man, poor man kind of a story, a rags to riches story where somebody picks themselves up by their bootstraps and becomes wildly successful. And the people who are rich and famous and wildly successful, come on, admit it. When one of them takes a tumble, when one of them loses everything or there's some big wild scandal, there's at least a little bit of you that is like, yeah, yeah. They got what they had coming. They got what they deserved. The world would teach us that being rich is equated with being evil. The world would teach us that being poor, especially if you're a victim, is somehow good or lionized. It's amazing how much that has changed just in my lifetime. Back in the olden days, if you were rich, you were considered blessed by God. And if you were poor, somehow God had forgotten you or maybe even cursed you. Being poor wasn't necessarily a bad thing. You looked up to those who were successful and you wanted to work hard and you wanted to achieve because, especially in this country, if you work hard, you can pretty much be and accomplish whatever you want to be. Times have changed. A rich man, poor man story, it still sells. It makes good drama, good TV. It makes good politics. Today we have before us the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. And don't we want to sit back and kind of go, yeah, Lazarus. You had nothing in life. You were poor and despised and looked down upon, and now you're elevated. And this rich man, we don't even have a name for him. This rich man, he was rich. He only thought of himself. Yeah, God, give it to him. My friends, this parable is not necessarily about riches or being poor. The financial end of this is almost a sidebar. This parable is not about being rich or being poor. This parable is about being saved. Now, I know Lutherans don't use that language and that talk very often, but that's exactly what this parable is about. It's about being saved. This parable, and especially the last three verses, are about the importance of the Word of God in your life. The importance of the Bible in your life. There is nothing as certain in this world as the Word of God. Did you hear that? Mark it. Remember it. There is nothing as certain in this world as the Word of God. You want to rely on your stuff? It'll let you down. You want to rely on your portfolio? There'll be lots of ups and downs. You want to rely on being a victim? People get tired of that very quickly. You want to rely on what you think, what you feel, what you emote? That's as changing as the weather in Nebraska in June. My friends, there is nothing as certain as the Word of God. You hear it. Intellectually, you know it. And yet it is so hard. It is so hard to put what we know and what we believe into practice. It is so hard to crack open the Word of God and to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest it. It is so much easier to binge watch on Netflix or to scroll on Facebook or Twitter. I came across an amazing statistic this week. It's a good thing you're sitting down. The average person who has a cell phone spends 4 hours a day on that cell phone. The average person in America who has a cell phone touches the screen 22,000 times. I'm not making up those numbers, folks. Maybe you're one of them, or maybe you're kind of like me and you just are enthralled when you see people doing that. 22,000 times? Can you imagine that? And that's the average. Imagine the person that only touches it 22 times a day. My friends, there is nothing more sure and certain in this world than the Word of God. But we are always looking for something better. We're chasing after the shiny new toy. We want something more sure than the Word of God. And it doesn't exist. It never has. And it never will. Oh, Pastor. If only God would have some sort of a mass revival where there would be all kinds of miracles, scientifically verifiable miracles. People would see these miracles and then they'd believe in God. Then they would be converted. Better yet, let's have somebody who is verifiably, scientifically, clinically dead come back to life. Then, certainly then, there would be a mass conversion. People would believe in God. They would believe that there is only one God in this world. How about this? Maybe we could have appearances all over the world, again, scientifically verifiable appearances, by angels. And angels could bring a message directly from God, giving hope and peace and comfort and encouragement to a world lost in sin. Then people would believe. Then people would be converted. How about this? Instead of God hiding in heaven, maybe God could just make an appearance here on earth. Maybe he could show up. God here visiting us on earth, and he could tell us what we need to do to be saved. Then people will believe. Then people will convert to Christianity. My friends, there is nothing more certain than the Word of God. People have wanted something more, something extra, something special, something in addition to the Word of God forever. All of these things that I have talked to you about, all of these what ifs and suppose, all of these things have happened. Over the course of time, over the course of history, they have all taken place. And there was no mass conversion. There was no stampede to believe in the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Think of Moses and Pharaoh. Miracle after miracle after miracle. Water turned to blood. Gnats, flies, frogs, burning hail. All of these things came. And finally, when the firstborn of all Egypt died, Pharaoh let the children of Israel go, but he still would not believe the word of God. His heart was stubborn. His heart was hard. Miracles are not enough my friend, unless you believe that these miracles are from God for you and they point you to the Son of God, Jesus Christ. If only the dead would rise. Tell that to Lazarus. Lazarus was dead. He was in the tomb for 4 days. Jesus called him back to life. Lazarus, come forth. What happened? The Pharisees, the scribes, the teachers of the law, the people that hated Jesus, they plotted and conspired. What? To kill Lazarus, to get rid of the proof. My friends, the scriptures are full of eyewitness accounts of the prophets, the apostles, and even Jesus himself raising people from the dead. The dead coming back to life will convert no one unless you believe that that miracle points forward to the greatest miracle of all, the mother of all miracles, the physical bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ for you and for salvation. God's word teaches us time after time after time, when God sent his angels, divine messengers, to bring a message to his people. And more often than not, the message of the angels was rejected. God sent angels to Lot and his family in Sodom. Was there a mass conversion? Oh, there was a mass gathering, all right. Let's capture these strange visitors. Let's rape them and have our way with them. My friends, it takes more than a visit from an angel. Unless you realize that angels are divine messengers from God, serving God and his creation. My friends, if only God himself would appear, he has. Many appearances throughout the Old Testament. What I'm talking about here is the appearance of God, the incarnation of God, where God takes on flesh and blood, makes his dwelling inside the womb of the Blessed Virgin. He is born, places himself under God's law. He performs miracles, signs and wonders, teaching and showing that he is the one, the Savior from sin. When he is baptized by John in the Jordan River, everybody hears the thundering voice from God. This is my Son, whom I love. Listen to him. Was there a mass conversion at that time? No. In fact, many of those same people, only a few months later, would be shouting out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" My friends, God's word for today, the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, teaches us that signs and wonders and miracles will not cut it. There is nothing more sure and certain than the Word of God. God's gift to you. God's gift to you, pointing you to Jesus Christ. His life, his death, his resurrection. There alone is your salvation. There alone is your comfort, your joy, your peace, and your certainty. Your certainty in good times, in bad times, and especially at the time of death. God's word for you is powerful. It turns your blindness towards your own sin, into eyes that are open to see the sin in your life and to see your need for a Savior, Jesus, for you. God's word is powerful. Powerful to convert. Powerful to convict. Powerful to heal your broken heart. Powerful to heal your sin, sick life. God's word is powerful to awaken you from the death of sin to new life in Jesus Christ. God's word is powerful to crush your rock-hard, stony, lifeless heart and to give you a new heart, a clean heart, a beating heart. God's word is powerful to fill you with the peace and comfort that the world cannot give. To fill you with peace and comfort that riches or poorness or victimhood cannot give. Only in the sure and certain word of God. My friends, all of us are burdened with the chain of sin that holds us down and keeps us down day after day after day. The power of God's word and his call to repentance breaks that chain of sin and allows us to be free. Free in him. And if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. My friends, there is nothing more sure and certain than the word of God. Nobody can take it away from you. God has given you his word. It's in your heart. It's in your mind. By the grace of God, we have it written down on pages that we can read and mark and study and memorize. The word of God is life. Whether you're a rich man or a poor man or like the vast majority somewhere in between, God's word is life, true life, everlasting life for you. Hear it. Cling to it. Believe it. Love it. Live it. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our ears, our lives in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Having heard the word of God, we are bold to confess our faith. This morning we sing the words of the Te Deum, page 223 and following. Please stand as you're able.
Thank you.
Jesus, the Word made flesh for you and for your salvation. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the Word of God would be your certainty today and forever. This time we worship God with our gifts and offerings. We continue now with the prayers of the church. Please stand.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
The Lord be with you.
Let us pray. O God, the strength of all who trust in you, mercifully accept our prayers. And because through the weakness of our mortal nature, we can do no good thing, grant us your grace to keep your commandments, that we may please you in both will and deed. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. In addition to the prayer requests that are listed in our news and notes, we pray for Dean Borneman the father of Dale, who is hospitalized with Lyme disease. And we also rejoice with the three couples in our congregation that are celebrating their 60th wedding anniversary this year. Bob and Marlene McClellan, May 24th. Bob and Sandra Rathjen, June 14th. Jim and Peggy Cather, December 27th. We pray. God, our Father in heaven, look with mercy on us, your needy children on earth, and grant us grace that your holy name would be hallowed by us and all the world through the pure and true teaching of your word and the fervent love shown forth in our lives. Graciously turn from us all false doctrine and evil living, whereby your precious name is blasphemed and profaned. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
May your kingdom come to us and expand. Bring all transgressors and those who are blinded and bound in the devil's kingdom to know Jesus Christ, your Son, by faith, that the number of Christians may be increased. We pray for your special blessings upon missionary pastor Michael Paul and his work in Taiwan. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Strengthen us by your Spirit according to your will, both in life and death, in the midst of both good and evil things, that our own wills may be crucified daily and sacrificed to your good and gracious will. Into your merciful hands we commend all who are in need, especially this day, Ken, Mark, Sharon, Chelsea, Loretta, Georgia, LaVon, Irma, Shirley, Mel, Barb, Shelley, Lyle, Dale, Dean, the family of Truman Bart Burton, the family of Elnora, mother of Laverne Obermeyer, and all those that we remember in our hearts. Grant them healing unto life and grace in the midst of their affliction. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant us our daily bread. Preserve from us all greed and selfish cares, and help us to trust you to provide for all our needs. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Forgive us our sins as we also forgive those who sin against us, so that our hearts may be at peace and may rejoice in a good conscience before you, and that no sin may ever frighten or alarm us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lead us not into temptation, O Lord, but help us by your Spirit to subdue our flesh, to turn from the world and its ways, and to overcome the devil and all his wiles. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, this day we extol your gift of marriage. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings upon all of our homes. Bless husbands and wives and give them joy in their vocation. Grant that the spirit of love, peace, and reconciliation would abound. We celebrate with all those who celebrate this day, especially Bob and Marlene, Bob and Sandra, Jim and Peggy. And we pray that their faithful example would be an encouragement for all of us today and well into the future. Send your blessings upon them and upon us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lastly, O Heavenly Father, deliver us from all evil of both body and soul, now and forever. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power. And grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
Please be seated for our closing hymn number 819, Sing Praise to God, the Highest Good, 819.
Sing praise to God.
Again, welcome in the name of Jesus. A special day and special celebration. So, Jim and Peggy, I want you to come down here. Bob and Sandra, I want you to come down here. Bob and Marlene, Marlene there? Get her out of the kitchen. Joe, go get Marlene out of the kitchen. Bob, take you a while to get down here. Come on down. All right. Now, it is always a big deal when somebody celebrates an anniversary. We have a tradition here that when somebody hits the 50th, Vicar, why don't you move over here out of the way? Okay. All right. You got how many years?
Four,
okay. All right, well, you got a ways to go. We have a tradition here at Good Shepherd that when somebody hits the milestone of 50 years, they get a special gift from the congregation. And we've had several that have hit 60 before, but to have three couples in the same year. Now, Jim and Peggy, by celebrating today, we're assuming you're going to make it. Okay? All right. All right, yes. And there is a typo in the news and notes. Bob and Sandra's anniversary was last week, right? It's June 14th, not July 14th. All right, so 60 years of marriage in a day and age where everything is disposable and throwaway. What a great gift, what a great example, what a great blessing from God. Let us sing together the common doxology, shall we? Clapping just won't cut it today.
Praise from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below.
But we have six of the more humble members of our congregation. I can only imagine getting them up here in front of the whole congregation. Just don't leave the church over it, okay? All right, this is a good thing. All right, maybe there's a correlation with the humility and the longevity of the marriage. I don't know. All right, you're all invited. We've got a special cake for the 60-60-60 celebration. Come and join us for coffee and goodies and cake. And again, thanks be to God for you. All right, very good. All right. Now you can... Okay, check out the Good Shepherd news and notes, all the activities and events in the days and weeks ahead are listed there. Pastor Moline is on vacation, family reunion in North Carolina. I will be gone Monday noon through Friday with higher things. So pray for Vicar. He's the man this week. We've got not only the coffee and goodies, Bible study in the fellowship hall, joyful generosity, Sunday school opening in here in about 7 minutes or so, and then we'll get everybody to the right spot. Thanks to everybody who helped with the blood drive yesterday. Another good time and successful blood drive there. And July 7th, 2 weeks from today, ordination and installation for former Vicar Short. Details are in the news and notes. North Bend, about an hour straight north of here, Pastor Murundi is preaching. Anything else, Vicar? I think that's enough for now. Please join us. Coffee and goodies. 60-60-60 celebration. Have a great day in Christ.